Okay, and we're live. So today we got a great guest for you. It's Chuck Charlton from Royal LePage in Milton. So Chuck, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and who you are and what you do?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you mentioned where we're from. We moved here in 2005 from Toronto. Really, Milton has undergone substantial changes in the last even 10 years. Like, we're talking double, triple. I think it's one of the fastest growing communities in the world. And we just saw a big opportunity from a real estate point of view. And it's actually been a lot of fun. I thought I'd be bored, but I enjoy the town. We have a business here. We've got three licensed partners and agents, and we've got a full-time admin assistant. We've done about 100 transactions this year. And and we've done some fun things online. We really, when we came here in 2005, we were the only guys doing anything in terms of websites and in the online world. So I think we've continued to raise the bar and to do things that we really haven't seen other people do. So we'll share more of that today, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So now, before you moved here, were you in real estate?
Yeah. I had a couple years in Toronto, so I got to see all those. Okay. Any Toronto agents listening can remember the 30 offers at a time and things like that. So that was something that the smaller community about a half hour west of Toronto just didn't experience.
Right.
Wasn't happening. Maybe one or two offers on a good property, that kind of thing.
So now, obviously, this is a niche agent or niche agent. So what do you use? Niche or niche for you?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. Niche rhymes with itch, okay. So let's call it that. We'll scratch the itch today.
Okay. So yeah. Why don't you tell us a bit about why we're interviewing you and what your niche is or niche is?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple things that I've discovered really as a result of building lists of buyers and sellers. And so we had in marketing speak, a squeeze page, which online we paid Google to showcase it. And so someone would leave their name and email, and so we would have that contact information. We'd have an autoresponder set up. And so what we ended up with was, after a couple of years moving here in 2005, probably 2008, 2009, is we had a rather large list, 5,000-6,000 people. And so we actually were getting too many requests for information. It was like we were inundated with people saying, send me listings. And so at that point, there was almost like a bottleneck effect. And so what we did was we transitioned that into, okay, well, we don't need to figure out who the good people are. We have a big list. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to build a site. And so we call it MiltonDailyHomes.com.
Okay.
And the listeners can definitely check that out. And so we created a site where we basically interpreted the information, and we put a video up that specifically spoke about every listing that came up on the market in Milton. So there might be 5 to 25 new listings a day. And so we just interpret. And so one of the things that I think in terms of a niche that we've created is we've created this audience that really is... We don't do it for any of the surrounding communities. It's only for Milton.
Right.
And we go very deep with the information and lead with the giving hand and say, okay, here's the things that you need to know.
Yep.
And the vision was is that could we take a list of 1,000 requests for homes? Because they all asked for that. They said,
right.
Hey, send me listings in Milton.
Yep.
And can we transition that into 100 requests to meet me in person? Because that's what I really wanted at the
yep.
end of the day. And so that's what it was, is that I'll give you the listings, I'll give you the entire thought process that I had. Because I almost imagine, what if I could sit, if someone could sit beside me and review listings with me? Because that's
right.
what I do in the morning.
Yep.
Like, if you can add something to something you're already doing, every morning I would wake up and say, okay, what listed yesterday? And so I brought them into that process.
Right.
And I've started to see that niche has a lot of value in real estate, to say, can I bring someone into my process? Can I
right.
add the expertise into that and flavor it? Because the information is no longer a secret,
right? We don't own the information like we used to. It's
right.
not the gatekeeper.
I mean, exactly. It's over the years that has certainly transitioned. So what our value is really to be expert negotiators,
right.
to be connectors between people. And we're going to talk about that later too. And really just to interpret information, to be the consultant and to be the person that they see as an expert. And I've put in a lot of time, you know, you got to put in the groundwork. Like, you have to know your market if you're
right.
going to do something
for
like
sure.
Milton Daily Homes.
And that shows because you focused just on Milton alone and not the other areas. So just for scope, so people understand, the population of Milton is about 100,000.
About 100,000, yeah.
So and, it was about 30 until
it was.
Boomed.
But there's even enough business. You figure in a town of 30 or 40,000 people, or I find a lot of the agents in Toronto in a community of multi-millions,
right,
that they think they need to be the expert from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
And you think about, even within a 1 kilometer radius of where you are right now, how much business is there? How many people are going to be moving in the next 12 months in that 1 kilometer radius? And there's a lot. And so even in terms of friendly competition between agents, there's nobody in my marketplace that has probably more than a 10% market share.
Right.
So, you know, there's so much that's available. And so to start thinking about things, I remember I heard this advice years ago from someone who worked in a close community to Milton in Georgetown. And they said, what if it was the island of Milton or the island of Georgetown, right? Where you just couldn't go off, because it's so tempting. 10 minutes away is Mississauga, is to say, okay, well, you know, that's a community of 700,000 people.
Right.
You know, would I work there? And we have chosen to on occasion, but we don't need to. And really from a lead generation perspective, to think about it as you're targeting Milton buyers or Milton sellers, and you're going to get other stuff. It's just, I think it's a natural byproduct.
But your focus is on the Milton side.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. And it's great to be able to be in a position as an agent where you don't even need to break out the map book.
Right. You know it.
Yeah. And so I've really seen working in Toronto versus working in Milton, the advantage of really putting your eggs in one basket. And like I said, you're going to get a little bit of periphery business if you choose to. But but the whole idea is, and you may have talked about this concept, I'm sure you have, it's really the root of your podcast, is that a five watt light bulb can barely light a room, but a 5 watt laser can cut through steel, right? And so it's that whole idea of mile wide and inch deep versus what we're trying to do is to go mile deep and just an inch wide. Very, very specific.
So now to get that list of 5,000 names, which is very impressive for, again, for a town of one, or small city almost, of 100,000 people, what were the strategies you used to do that? Because a lot of agents, again, new agents, even seasoned agents, will spread most of their marketing budget way too wide, do a lot of stuff, and then not get that kind of result. So obviously, you were focusing on something. So what were you doing to get that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole lead generation business to me is actually very, very simple. And I've taught this many times at different seminars and talks, is the only thing you need to be concerned about is what are they going to trade their anonymous status to get, right? So if you have tasty enough cheese and you have a lack of whiskers, in other words, if you're not showing up as the salesperson who's going to jump on them, if you have a site that, let's say, is a little less branded or even not branded, I don't even own the website with my name because I know nobody cares about it. I don't have chuckcharlton.com. I had it, but then I just let it go because I thought nobody really cares. Yeah. And so all of our websites are related to searchmiltonhomes.com, Milton Daily Homes, and so it conveys a benefit. And so when you talk about the whole idea of how to build a list, is that all you need to do is figure out what do they want? So what's their dream come true? What's their biggest fear? And put that, so it could be something like a guide to Milton house prices. It could be a guide to Milton neighborhoods. And so all you're doing is you're saying, I have this. And so what I need you to do is to give me something, right? So whether it's an email address or a like on Facebook or something that's going to, because the only purpose of any website is to really allow them to provide some kind of information. I believe that. I think that a lot of people are just jumping around on sites, and there's nothing there's no opportunity for that owner of that website to really keep it to have anything left after the visit.
Right.
Right. And so you've got to trade something good to get it.
Yep. When I teach classes, I always tell people are looking for information, not an agent.
Right.
And if agents have it backwards, they think they're there searching for an agent.
Right.
They're looking for information. And if you can provide them that information, they'll be more likely to work with you.
Yeah.
And I always say, like you said earlier, is the information you're giving them has to be valuable enough that they're willing to leave their information for that. Example I use is if you're going out for lunch. I went out to Harvey's the other day in Canada. That's a restaurant or hamburger joint here. And on the back of the receipt, it said, go online and enter for a chance to win $50 gift certificate.
Right.
Well, for me, that value is not worth for me to, for a chance to win $50.
Right.
Now, if they had on the back and said, go online for a $5 off coupon for your next purchase,
sure,
that value is
which
worth
is
it
guaranteed
for me.
Business.
So I'd be more likely to fill out my information.
Yeah, and even the marketing thing, I'm sure you've seen the ads that real estate agents have where they say, okay, buy a home with me and I'll pay your home inspection, and aside from the conflict of interest that that may represent, the thing about that whole process, or you know, win a cruise with our team or whatever, the problem with that is that you're basically saying you need to give to me before I give to
right.
you.
Yep.
And so leading with the giving hand, and that's one of the, I think, the fundamental concepts of Daily Homes, is that I'm giving them a lot of
right.
stuff. I mean, they're actually going to be better off than when, hopefully, they're better off than when they leaving as when they arrive. And so you really need to think about that, is what can you do freely or in exchange for that contact information, but what can you give to them that would be better than anything else
right.
that somebody could even leave on the back end? What could you do on the front end that would create a lot of reciprocity, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's a basic, you know, philosophy of just, you know, how to, like, people are wired to want to reciprocate,
right.
right? And so if you use that in your marketing, is if you provide something so good that they almost want to come back to you and say, how could I repay you?
Yep.
That's a great concept to come from.
And I think that's a concept that most agents are missing. And they, again, like you said, they're, what can you give me first before they give them anything? And a lot of agents are afraid to give anything because they think that they're going to just take and go. But it's
yeah.
proven time and time again. Psychological studies have shown when you give first, you're going to get more back.
Yeah, and I get it because some agents are in that scarcity mindset. And I think all of us have traveled that road
yep.
at some point where, you know, where it is important that that next buyer does represent the next mortgage payment. And
right.
so it's very hard to distance yourself and to say, okay, well, I'm going to provide this information. And really, I don't have any expectation of return. Is
right.
that it's, you know, I know that if it's good enough, that the law of averages means something is going
right.
to come back to me. But
yeah.
it's a little scary at first to kind of say, here's some of my best efforts and my best work, and I'm just going to throw it out there for free. But there's so, I mean, the fight for attention is so huge right now.
Right.
That's just the way it's got to be.
Yep.
Right?
So now, you'd mentioned you do the video tours. So can you tell us a bit about, I've seen them, so I know what you're talking about. We'll put a link as well to some of those
sure.
below.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a bit about what you do and why you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's people say to me, how can you do a video every single day? And it's like, well, how can you brush your teeth every day? It's just
yeah.
something you do. Like,
yeah.
you get into that pattern. And Gary Keller's talked about how to build a habit. And
yeah.
they say 66 days. And some people say 21 days. And, you know, at the end of it is that Jeffrey Lant has a great little saying. He says, only send letters or only make calls on the days you want to make sales. And so the thing about doing the videos is I know that it provides a good income for us.
Yep.
And so I think I did the calculation 1 year, and I think we make more than $1,000 per video that we make.
Wow.
Or you could even almost scale it back and say, you know, we make $100 a minute. Or whatever it is. I mean, I don't know those exact numbers, but
yep.
the point is that you're probably, some other things that people say is, well, how, you know, 5 days a week you send an email, like people are going to unsubscribe. And
yeah.
and initially that happened. It was interesting because we had a list of 6,000. Within the first week of doing the videos, we lost 20% of our list.
Wow.
And so that's a little scary. But
yep.
then you look, and this is another great lesson I learned, is that you have to almost upset or piss people off that don't matter. Like
right.
there's the 20% that
yep.
don't matter, and there's the 20% that did. Because at the same time that was happening, we were getting letters from people saying, this is amazing.
Right.
I can't believe you're doing this. I hope you keep it up.
Yep.
And a lot of those initial emails resulted in some great relationships
yep.
with people. But that's been a big thing for us, is that if you're not doing something that shakes the tree a little bit and kind of, you know, upsets, like you wonder if you're kind of doing
yep.
anything substantial at all. So going back, what was the question that you asked? I'm just trying to think.
Oh, doing the deals, why you do them, what you do them for, and what's actually
so the actual content of them. Yeah. So the mechanics of it takes me about an hour to do front to back everything. So I would review the listings for a couple minutes. I usually film it, but most of the time it's one take. It might take me two takes if the phone rings or something.
Yep.
Edit through a program called ScreenFlow. So we use a Mac, and you and I have talked about.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah,
exactly. The whole PC versus Mac is another podcast. But we use a program called ScreenFlow, and so all we're doing is just adding some basic zoom effects. We're just, you know, here's the pictures, and we're going to zoom in on that.
Yep.
And so, like I said, 5 to 25 listings. The videos, generally, we try and keep them around 10 minutes,
right,
which is even contrary to a lot of people. They think, oh, you have to have your video less than
under 3 minutes,
the length of a song.
Yep.
But I look at it, you can never over-communicate with a passionate audience. Is that if it's valuable to them, it doesn't matter, right? So you think, so the listeners... what's something that you're really passionate about? Are you passionate about guitar or your local sports team? If somebody sent you an email 5 days a week about guitar, like, you might go, that's perfect. I love that. Can you send 7 days a week?
If it's quality stuff, and if it's just average stuff, people aren't going to want that. But the information you're providing is quality and information that the people are looking for.
Yeah, so the editing is, so the shooting, let's say 10, 15 minutes. The editing is maybe another 10 to add those zoom effects. We write the blog post, and then we write the email that we send out to our list.
Right.
And we use getresponse.com as our list server. Now we're up to about 11,000 people on the list. And so that whole process is very much like a system. It's not any more skill required. People think I'm a techie guy, and I'm not, right? Like, I look at it and say, what do I want to do, and what are the tools I need? So I just go into WordPress and do some very basic posting techniques, and then it's up, and it's very simple. Get response is probably 6 clicks in order to send out an email to 11,000 people. And you almost feel sometimes when you click that button, you think, wow, this is going to 11,000 people. And it's just such a simple thing that you almost forget that every single person is getting something that looks like it's addressed to them.
And the nice thing, again, is that's leveraged. If you were to cold call, or if you were to door knock, or if you were to do open houses, there's no way you would ever reach, probably in even a year, if you're specifically sending that kind of information to someone, or to send individually that kind of email. So that's the amazing power of being able to do that with online, is you're able to, within 1 or 6 clicks, reach 11,000 people and give them the information.
Sure.
Which is...
So the lessons from the site that we noticed was that what happened was we said we're going to do the site to replace us having to reach out to people who asked for information.
Right.
And so for a while, we just kind of... It sounds bad, but we ignored some of the requests coming in. We just said, okay, you're getting the video. What else do you want? And we would still get business from that. And one of the big reasons, if you go onto the site, is we've got 3 very clear next steps for them. So you always want to lay out the potato chips in a way that it makes it very easy for them. So the 3 next steps on the website is they can come to a buyer class, or they can come for a tour of homes, which a lot of people think we get people on a bus. That's not usually what happens, is because it's not relevant to everybody.
Right.
It's much more, in fact, it resembles a consultation with a few homes at the end.
Yep.
And then the 3rd thing is that they could meet me at Starbucks as well.
So how often are you at Starbucks then?
Yeah, you know what's funny is that anything that you put out there is really, we even had the guide to Milton Prices. Like, we had 150 requests for it before we actually wrote the thing.
Wow.
Because people want, it's like they request the drill bit, but they want the hole.
Right.
Right. It's like so you call them up and you say, okay, well, instead of the guide, why don't we just get together, and then we could send you a customized list of homes that match what you're looking for.
Right.
And so it's funny because those things out there, and I wasn't trying to do a bait and switch. It just so happened that what we learned from that is that people just want to buy a home.
Yep.
Right. And so whatever little plate of cookies that you want to put out there is something that you're offering. I mean, it's always a good idea to have it.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you find that really when you connect with people, is they all they're just looking for a place to live.
Right.
Right. And so if you show up as a with the right mindset and there to help them genuinely, is, you know, the business still continues to happen. Yeah.
So now you've amassed this large list.
Yeah.
What's your next steps with it? And I know you're working on
a bit of a redesign. I mean, obviously there's new things now, like responsive web design, which means that it would show up nicely basically on any device.
Right.
I mean, there's so many different ways that people search now. I mean, yep. We've really found it's almost a third between desktop, tablet, and mobile now,
right,
for people going to that Milton Daily Homes site. And that's been a big difference, because even back in 2010, I mean, that was, I think, just the start of the iPad. I don't know when it actually launched, but it was sometime around then. It was so February 2010 was our first episode, and so that was a desktop culture, and
right,
so it's really transitioned very quickly. So yeah, we're just going to continue with the list. I mean, obviously, we pay a lot to Google AdWords, and so we're working with a company called WordStream right now to improve the efficiency of how we bid on keywords, and being there, I think, when people are, those long tail searches, just doing a better job of actually saying, okay, here's what you're looking for.
Yep.
And so that'll obviously be more efficient. Growing the team. The nice thing about when you have a proven system is we know that 20% of the people that go on to search MiltonHomes.com are going to leave their email address.
Right.
And so at that point, it becomes a game of, okay, how many emails do I need in order to get this many appointments?
Right.
So it's like a volume knob, right? As you say, okay, I want twice as many transactions on the back end.
Right.
Well, that means I just need to double the budget on the front end. And so I know a lot of people talk about SEO and everything. My problem with SEO has always been that they kind of change the rules on you all the time. And I would rather say, how much money am I putting in and how much am I getting out?
Yeah.
And so really what we look at is for every 10 forms that are filled out, and we usually get about a 20% form fill out. So the whole dynamic is if I get 1,000 people to see my website, 200 people are going to leave their email address.
Yep.
And then about 40 or 50 of them are going to fill out a form. And generally, that we're about a 1 in 10 to appointments, right?
Okay.
So 40 or 50 should lead to about 4 or 5 appointments.
Right.
And so to know those kind of numbers is definitely a very beneficial thing to a business owner. And that's where you get to, is you get to the point where I can't do it all on my own. So now I've got to get people who, you know, can run the system as good or better than me. And I know a big breakthrough for me is to see one of my team members actually do the buyer presentation better than I can.
Which is good.
Right? Yeah. And it's like something switches in your mind where you sit there and say, I don't need to be everything to everyone.
Right.
Is that so? Even in terms of niching my life and my business, I mean, I think I've done a pretty good job at saying, this is my unique ability. And so doing the video and then really just connecting with people, and my team loves it because I just set up success for them.
Right.
So I've almost transitioned from being the chess piece to being the board, right? To being someone who, you know, provides a game worthwhile for the teammates to play on. And so that's exciting too, is to really look at all the things that you do in your business and say, what if I could only do 3?
Right.
Right? Or what if I could only spend 4 hours a week on my business? What would I do that would lead to the success, right? It's that 80-20. So niching is not just about target audience. It's also about how you choose to spend your time. You can niche your own abilities in your business too. And I really work a pretty balanced life. So, I mean, I did probably 50 transactions this year. Not many weeks where I worked more than about 40 hours a week.
You've definitely got it down, and that's systematizing it, knowing exactly what to expect, and you know what you're going to get out of it, and you know how much time you need to put in to get that.
Right, so. Exactly.
So now tell us a bit about you said you were talking about the Chuck LS.
Yeah, the Chuck LS. So this whole concept came from, okay, I've got this group of 11,000 people. We've also done a postcard that's attracted some information for people who want the Milton Price Report. And so we've got a list of potential sellers, people that are probably more likely than the average person to want to sell their home.
They put their hand up and they've reached out.
So. Right. And so what I've thought about is how can I create little matches in between those two lists, right? Because I know that there's a potential seller somewhere in that list of 750 and there's a potential buyer who wants to buy it. There's enough spread there. And again, the law of averages just says that. So what we've started to do is we've categorized every single seller who has requested that price report. We put them into a neighborhood. So there's 11 neighborhoods in Milton. And so we've said, okay, what neighborhood do they live in?
Right.
And if you know your town, you can just look at the street and figure that out very quickly. The second thing is the price range that they're in.
Right.
And what we've tried to do is to categorize by price range A, B, C, D, and so on.
Okay.
Because the problem is that if you put that their home is worth $300 to $350, a year from now, that's not relevant information.
Right.
But I know that all of the group of price range A next year is going to be worth 5% more. So I can just adjust the numbers on price range A. And then the last thing is the type of home that they have. Is it a condo? Is it a townhouse?
Right.
And so with those three pieces, if I had somebody who came to me and said, I want to be in a specific school district, okay, well, one of the 11 neighborhoods, I can pull it off and say, okay, well, there's now 42 people out of the list of 750 that maybe I should just reach out to.
Right.
Right. And so, or if they're looking in a specific price range, I can say, okay, you're $400 to $450. Well, I've got a list of 78 people there. And so you can start to really use these flags in your database and say, how can I, you know, it's almost like you kind of think about who you're showing homes to this weekend. And then if the MLS was the last place that you looked, right? Like, what would you do?
Yeah.
What if the MLS didn't exist, right? Yeah. And so I think about, okay, I'd probably go to the for sale by owner sites.
Yep.
I'd probably go to my past clients. Yep. I'd go to this list of potential sellers. I might look up expired listings. I suppose that's a back-end MLS inquiry that you can make. But if the current inventory wasn't there, what would you do, right?
And that, and I think that there's a lot of value in that just from the selling side, the service you can offer to a seller, because you can say, we can make it very simple, take care of the transaction, we've got a list of buyers for you. And also on the buying side, I would imagine that's a huge value for you to when you're meeting with buyers, you can say, we've got a list of homes that aren't even on the market. Because I know a lot of buyers are looking for that golden nugget, they're looking for that, there's almost a mystery home, they're just searching for that, they want to find it. That's a lot of the times they'll go online, they may be getting listings from other agents, but they're looking for that secret gem.
Yeah,
you have a list of secret gems that may be perfect for them.
It is, because I think the buyer side, usually the value proposition on the buying side is like, you know, how friendly are you? Or it's like what do most agents have on the buying side? It's like, okay, well, I'll be more available than other people. Or there's not much there, right? On the selling side, I mean, at least you've got, when you list a home, as you can say, I'm going to do this or do that. And of course, personality goes a long way. I mean, if they don't trust you, that you're going to do the right job. But I look at it is when you start going to a listing presentation saying, I've got a list of 11,000 people.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing. And we sell homes before even listing them sometimes.
Yep.
And so being able to showcase a listing before, so instead of what I would say to people when I meet them on a listing appointment is that I started looking for the buyer for your home 6 months ago.
Right.
Right?
Before you even talk.
And so most agents that list your home are going to put the sign up and then they're going to have a 6-day marketing plan.
Right.
You do an open house on the first weekend and put an ad in the paper and then it kind of fizzles. And so we've got this driving engine that continues to look for new buyers. And one of the education points that we tell people is that one in 122 buyers actually buy the home that they inquire about.
Right.
So even if I put an ad for your home in the newspaper, if someone calls in, if we're lucky enough to get, and most people who place newspaper ads know that you're not getting more than a handful of calls.
Right.
That buyer's likely not going to buy the house. So what we need to transition into the mindset and what I try and teach the sellers is that whoever is speaking to the most buyers as a big list has the highest percentage of actually getting your home sold. And that's what they want. I mean, you might have the fanciest keynote presentation. You might bring your iPad in and show the sellers all the cool stuff you can do. But if I walked in and said, I've got a buyer, how much do you want to sell for and when do you want to move?
Yep.
You know, like everything else is to make it a little bit more palatable. Like, okay, well, we're making feedback calls.
Yeah.
Well, what if they don't really want feedback calls, right? They don't want to allow strangers into their home.
They want to get
the darn home sold. And so the closer that you can get to that finish line, I think the more the more they're going to appreciate the value. That's real value for a seller, 100%. Right? Yep. Like, I sure you want to have nice feature sheets, but it's all just to make the process a little bit easier on them.
I'd rather get my home sold and have ugly feature sheets.
Sure,
have pretty feature sheets and not get my home sold.
Yeah, I'd rather have no feature sheets. Exactly. Right? Like, I would rather just click my fingers and sort of have everything done. Yep. And so to think about that as an agent is that there is a group of people that I think our industry is really transitioning into like the sort of cheap stuff or the concierge stuff.
Right.
Is where, you know, we might even find some agents that have started to build into their process. Well, what if you could just sort of one click an entire moving process, right? So if, you know, if they could call you up and say, okay, well, I've got the buyer for you.
Yep.
I could help you. I've got a team that's going to help you pack, and then we'll call everyone that needs to be called about your move. And so all they just need to do is sit back and enjoy. Yep. People will pay for that kind of value.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. And so we tend to think of our process as just real estate, but I think that we have an opportunity to connect to the entire process and to really what would be their dream come true as sellers or as a buyer.
Right? Now, I know a lot of mistakes or problems that a lot of agents run into is objections with price, different things like that. Do you find you still get the same objections that, say, a typical real estate agent would get by having this? Can you walk in and say, like, do you get the objection over price when you say, I've got a list of this many people, or do you get people fighting back? Or
so someone who's listing their home saying, you know,
I don't
like,
want to pay this percentage commission or whatever. Or do the people that you bring in, are they seeing the value and are they willing to pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they're getting exactly what they wanted without the painful process.
Yep.
And so to educate them through that, I think, is important. Ultimately, that's a skill-based thing, is for the agent to be able to, you know, to justify their fees, right? Like, you don't pay the brain surgeon for the 12-hour surgery. You pay them to fix the problem, right? And so that's the whole thing, is that you're paying me. I don't get paid on a retainer or on a per hour. I get paid for results.
Yep.
Right? And people need to remember that as agents, is that my results is that I'm a connector, right? I'm an interpreter. I'm a negotiator. That's our high dollar value stuff. It's not, well, I'm going to put it on MLS and put a sign up.
Or make a nice
feature sheet. Matter. Yeah, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. That's your niche as an agent, is to really identify these things that, as the information becomes more ubiquitous, is that what are we really doing to change people's lives? And to me, those are the three things that I think handling the transaction details would be another one that we alluded to. Those are the things that I think really matter.
Okay. Well, it's a good good grasp on what you're doing. We just wrap up with a golden nugget. So what would you say is one good takeaway for someone, any agents listening, if they're looking to do something similar or just some advice for people?
Yeah, if I were to summarize, I think what we talked about, number one is to just kind of build a list, right? Is to start building a list, communicate with it in a valuable way. But I think that if you collect a group with a common interest, like buying a home in Milton, it's very easy to provide. You've got new information every day.
Right.
I mean, you have a choice to either do something once, like a video that's going to continue to remain valuable. We did a flight over Milton.
I've seen those. This is a great
Internet. Yeah. So we got in a plane and talked about how the town is growing. That's something that's going to remain there.
Yep.
But I think that you can also have the ongoing new content, which is obviously the listings and the market and how everything's going.
Right.
So building a list, how you do that is you provide them with valuable information, really that they can't find anywhere else. And I think, just like I said, to think of yourself as the interpreter of information, to think of yourself as a connector, is once you've got lists, how do you make the matches in the list?
Yep.
And to really think of yourself as the overseer of all the transaction details. And that's really, I think, what we've committed to on our team, is to really be the best in the world at those. Because I've chosen not to be the cheapest agent.
Right.
And I think moving ahead, it's a well-positioned model to continue to grow. And no matter what happens with the industry, I think that that's going to remain very consistently valuable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so what's the best way for people to get a hold of you or check out what you're looking at, some videos or websites or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it all starts really, like what we pay on Google for is for somebody to see the site searchmiltonhomes.com.
Yep.
So if you leave your name and email, and it's got all my information on that site, but if you leave your name and email, you're going to see what we actually do.
Right. Do you mind people doing that?
No, not at all. Because that's the other thing. It doesn't cost me anything extra to send an email to 11,000 people as it does to 10 people.
Yep.
And so they can kind of see where we're at with that. The new website should be launching, I would think, probably this month or next month.
Okay.
And so we're sort of end of year 2013. So I would think by early 2014 we'll have the new site up, and hopefully that'll be good.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, the most important thing is that, I mean, people think it's the website and the videos.
Right.
The truth is I send more emails than everyone else.
Right.
Right. Like I said, I did the math. I think it's 2.2 million emails I send to that list. Right. And yeah, you get your unsubscribes, you get the people that, that say, stop, they'll almost insult you, and you just kind of say next, because you know that for every one of those people, there's another person who really has, who is in love with what you do.
And that's what you want. You want that, you're boiling down that list, you're getting rid of the crap, and you're making a more concentrated list. So
yeah,
more
that happens, it's a passionate group of people that are really, because that's, I've heard Seth Godin say this, is that how many people would miss you if you stopped communicating?
Yeah.
Right? And that's one of the measures of how valuable is my stuff, is would they miss me if I'm gone? And I think there legitimately are people that would miss what we do if we ever stopped.
Perfect. Okay, so thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We'll be sure to get that out to our audience. And if anyone has any questions, you can get a hold of them through the websites. So great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.